Blog Talk Radio.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Stop and think about what I have to say. Hear me out, no, don't turn and walk away. It's what I see kind of bold. Well, it's a question that should run deep, deep down in your soul. What has happened as people with sitting churches throughout the world for centuries? With the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them? What will happen? It's a message of concern. What will be said to the mind of the world's children? What will this do to their mind? What will this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern. What would happen to the world children put under a figure of a particular race? Presented pitiable and insane, the savior of all men.
Tell me what would happen.
It's a message of concern. What would be said to the mind of the world children? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world children? It's a message of concern. Holy Quran, Surah 3, verse 64 says, say, O people of the book, come to common terms as between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say, ye bear witness that we at least are Muslim, bowing to God's will.
A message
of concern. Wait a minute before you criticize. The question is long overdue. I've come to realize this important message lends words to the wise. Take a look at the big picture and open up. Open your eyes. What will they do to the mind of the world's children? What will this do to their mind? What will this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern. Civilized nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no gods. We are only men, mortal from the mortal. He, God, creator. This is the message of concern. Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. that people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries, with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them. What would happen to the world's children put under fear of a particular race? And it's pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men.
Tell me what would happen. Tell me what would happen.
What would be given to the mind of the world children? What would
What will this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern.
What would happen to the world children put under a figure of a particular race, presented pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men?
What would happen?
Tell me what would happen.
It's a message, a message, a message, message of concern. What would this do to the mind of the world children? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world children? It's a message, message of concern.
Holy Quran, Surah 3, verse 64 says, say, O people of the book, come to common terms that between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say ye bear witness that we at least are Muslims, bowing to God's will.
A message, a message, message of concern. Wait a minute before you criticize. The question is long overdue. I've come to realize this important message lends words to the wise. Take a look at the big picture and open up. Open your eyes. What will this do to the mind of the world's children? What will this do to their minds? What will this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message, message of concern.
Civilized nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no gods. We are only men, mortal from the mortal. He, God, created. This is the message of concern. Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern.
Tell me what would happen.
Listen to the message of concern. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. The Rotal, the Dean in Amta Alehim, Iro McDubi Alehim, Walid Olin, I mean. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher, sustainer of the world, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Yeshua Allah speaks the truth, Sadiq Allah Udin. We've just recited to you in Arabic and in English the Al-Fatiha, the opening of the Quran. We want to greet you. Assalamu alaikum. You with the world's greetings of God's peace be upon you, or God's peace be unto you and all of Assalamu alaikum. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, only one creator, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him as the seal of the prophet. I greet you again with the world's greetings. Of peace be upon you. God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. This is your message of concern, sponsored by Sis Claire Muhammad STEM School and co-sponsored by Brother Aymin Muhammad out of California, Los Angeles, California. And Sim. S as in science. T is in technology. E is engineering. M is math. The first letters of these words spell STEM, and it's the school of these particular majors that I just gave you and spelled out to you. And to me, like I always say, and it's my opinion, the root of Islam, the sciences, of which Islam to me is science. It is a makeup of science. It's an explanation of science. You got the sun, the moon, and the stars. You know, and you got the what they call cosmic above us there, the cosmic atmosphere. And you have the earth, and then you have the in-between, gravity, and all that, the cosmics. So we have to just use our minds and think like this, really, and tell the truth about the thing. We've got to think on these levels in order to keep our balance, because it is profitable, everything we say about the STEM and everything, and the explanation that we give about the STEM and what it covers. It's all in Islam. It's all in Islam. So if we study these things, it's talking about the earth that we live in. It's talking about our surroundings. All of our surroundings. Believe it or not, it sounds like it's limited. It's just, you know, for us that we live in this part, but it's all over. So it's all of our necessary surroundings that we have. We have the heavens, what we call it, the heavens. That's the above. We have the in-between, and we also have the planet, the grounds, the rivers, the streams, the oceans. That's the bottom part of the lower part that we know of. Leaving out the black hole, we don't know what exists down there as yet. But believe me, I believe it. It will be manifested in the near future. It could be a whole new world down there. Or it could be all hell down there. At the bottom of the ocean is down beneath there, the black hole, you know. I mean, we can use our minds, and Allah bless us with, to just about imagine what it consists of down there, plus a lot of things. But that would be one of the first things we probably would think about, because they say, oh, they said it's heaven up in the sky, but hell is beneath the ground, you know. We also know we've been taught that heaven and hell is a state of mind and condition. A state of mind that if we're doing bad, we don't consider doing good. It could be hell to a lot of people. If we're doing good, so we're living in heaven. We're in heaven. This is just like heaven. How do you know it's just like heaven? You've never been there. If you've never been there, but you would imagine it's just like heaven. When you're doing good, You know, when Allah has blessed you to do well, to have no necessary needs, you know, like sickness, you need medication. Like in your families, you need harmony and love, consideration and respect, and you are happy living in peace, living in harmony. You could consider that as being heaven, state of mind and condition. And the opposite of that is hell. So that's using the mind that Allah has blessed us with to think. We shouldn't be afraid to think, because we should know by now, we should learn by now. Like Imam W.D. Muhammad says, thinking benefits the thinker. So you shouldn't be afraid to think. Some people like they just like noise. They like noise, a lot of noise around them all the time. And you look at those people and you, in your mind, you're wondering, now, how can they think? They have the TV on, they have the music playing on a CD, they have a cell phone on. So another happening that's going on, maybe current events or the news, all three of those things. Now, how can you concentrate on all three of those things at one time? You may hear some of it, but you may not get the real essence of it. You won't really know what it's really talking about because you haven't gotten deep into it. You can't, because there's too many things causing you to defocus and to block your mind from really hearing everything that's going on in each of those three loud-toned things that you're listening to. So we have to think logically, you know, and we know that thinking always benefits the thinker. So I have someone that's calling that. Hold on 1 second for me, please. She may want to say something, but she's calling me by text, I think, to get the number, telephone number. But anyway, okay. And I don't have anybody here right here right now to take this over for me to call her back. We'll see what it is if she wants. But anyway, inshallah, what's meant to be will be. So we think logically, and we keep our minds, try and the best we can, keep our minds clear and keep our minds full of positive things and not negative things and not deviant things, you know, so that we can be able to focus on what we do necessarily need to focus on, like the children and like the way things are going nowadays. I wanted to mention something to start off, even though it may be old stuff, but it's still new stuff, because some of us didn't read the Muslim Journal or the that this might have been in, or even the newspapers that this might have been in. If we heard about it over the radio or anything, you know, we might not have had access to those, to that kind of equipment or whatever, or information source. Okay? So I want to read this to you. It's not long articles or anything like that. This is just something that was put in. Wait a minute. Get on this one right here. It's just another phone being used to pull up stuff on, which is really good to have. But you can really go to your old phone and pull these things up too. If you still have Wi-Fi and your Wi-Fi is connected, you know, you can go to them. Okay, not going to be able to get it on that one.
have to get it on mine. Wait a minute. Oh, my. I'm not going to be able to get it right now. So I'll have to take some looking, and I'm not going to be able to use that time or this time for that. And I just have to. Anyway, what I wanted to point out was the prejudices, talking about the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children and some adults as well. It came up on my, I don't like doing this, it came up on my cell phone, and it was talking about things that happen under oh goodness, you know, there's, and I just have to say this, that is nothing but the devil, because I said that I was going to pull this up and read it. My Akbar and myself, my husband and myself, were reading all those things that it says about prejudices and the children, and there would be a good subject tonight, you know, on our Blog Talk Radio show, and here it is, trying to make it difficult for me to get to it. It is. But this I want to recite to you anyway about this. This one, this is for brother. He says, teach them. And this came up. Be hearing it or not either. This is a article that's given this on the Facebook, and it's teaching this little brother is on Facebook. His mother, I think she took it with the here it is, TikTok, yeah, and the little boy is talking about the sneakers, you know, and his topic is teach them, and he's saying how the children are teasing him and, about the sneakers that he wear. Now, I'll tell you about sneakers as soon as, you know, I finish trying to explain this. The children are talking about the sneakers that he wear and telling him that they are not in style and they're old and old-fashioned. And he's trying to explain that he's not a materialistic child. That his name is Terry Garland. And I tried to send it to as many people as I could when I first read it myself, you know. And this is on TikTok, though. Maybe you can see it. It said, teach them. There's these kids are teasing me. I have felons. Mind you, I am not a materialistic person. I just wear them because I like them. And I think they're, you know, okay. So I know, you know, what I like. And I tell the kids, it's about what's in my head. It don't matter what I wear. It's about my information. These sneakers are not. Think about the power to inspire others, your wisdom, your knowledge, you know, and because what they don't have Jordan on, whatever or something else, you know, things are more important and more cool than Jordans themselves, you know. So you just teach the children, so you know, so that they won't be just came. You know, and there's kids teasing me because of the filas that I wear, but the filas don't mean anything to me. I just wear them.
because, you know, I like them, and I think they're cool. They might not be as popular today as others, you know. So it's not about what I have on. It's about what I have in, no matter what I'm wearing. You know, it's about my information, the knowledgeable, my knowledge that I have, you know, that I'm sharing. And it's about my, you know, wisdom, the power to inspire others. Parents, please, don't let your children like the materialistic type, because once they don't have them, Jordans on and or other popular things to wear or what's in, stuff like, you know, stuff like that, it makes them feel that they're not important. You know, once they have them, they wear them, they think they're important. But once they don't have them, then they think they are not important. You know, so teach them not to be materialistic. And share what's in their minds, you know, what's on their minds and their information and inside, what's inside their head, you know. So these are the real things that these, and this little boy, I mean, he is so young. He looks like he's about maybe 9 or 10 years old, maybe. See? And he is really speaking with a lot of sense. I hope everybody who has a cell phone will go to TikTok and just look for that, you know, reflections, you know, little day reflection, little day reflection. And his name is Terry Garland. So, ooh, it is, like we used to say, it's so heavy until I had to write something about it myself. And I had to. I couldn't resist it, you know. I couldn't resist writing something about this little boy. And I very seldom do that, too. I very seldom do that, but I had to do it with him because he was saying something that was very, very important, and I had to refer people to him, and I sent it out, like I said, to as many people as I could that I have in my contact, something like that, and so that everybody could hear that. And I also saw on today, even though it might have happened in 2020, and it was about racism, where a little five-year-old was handcuffed because he ran away from the daycare that he was attending. And the policemen, the two policemen there at the school, I guess they were school policemen or whatever, and they were so busy trying to be stern and try to teach a little boy a lesson, or try to, they thought maybe would say something that would stick in his head or scare him not to do that again, not to run away from the school again, until it was just bringing out more and more the racism, you know, that they had in their mind, and how in the world they're going to teach children about unity and working together with others, especially at that young age. If they're going to teach them about prison, the little boy's uncle being locked up, and now he was incarcerated at the time. And when the mother came to the school, the assistant principal was laughing at the police how they were handcuffing him, and how they were telling him, threatening him, like, I hope your mother will let me whip you, you know, for it, you know, and punish you for it. I mean, it was all uncalled for. It was really all uncalled for. They were trying to scare the little boy the wrong way. If anything, they weren't trying to give him any information that would help him. They were frightening him, and threatening him. To the point of anything, he would remember that for the rest of his life. And it would scare him. You know, he would hold that in him about his mother, too, who came and was talking about her brother, which was his uncle, who was incarcerated, and how he shouldn't do different things, this, that, or the other, you know, because he'll be incarcerated, too. You want that lifestyle for yourself, you know, and all this sort of thing. And who knows what she was doing, that he wanted to run away from school, from a daycare.
But evidently somebody didn't go to that extent to tell how he was found or whatever. But I guess they were the police most likely, because they're the ones who handcuffed him in the idea and brought him back to the school, and they were just not treating him like a five-year-old, that he was screaming and he was yelling and he was crying, but still, you know, they should have realized the age, you know, and what they were doing to his head and what was going on in his little mind. Was that he was going to get locked up anyway, but you know, because he would see it on probably on TV and the environment probably that he lives in, and his mother talking about beating him and all this kind of stuff. Well, that's not going to change anything. It's not going to change anything. All this beating him going on, you know, you got to say the right things to them. They're little, but they're little people. They have minds and they think. You know, we have to think that way about them. Because it starts from that little age like that, the lower age. 5 years old, I remember when I was teaching at the Young People's Institute, and I had just gotten my degree in early childhood and elementary education in Newark, New Jersey. And I got this position at a private Young People's Institute where they had ages, if they were potty trained, they could come from then. And they had them up to 5 years old. So that was what was the potty train, what, 2 years old or something maybe, and up to 5 years old. And I was lead teacher, you know, there for my class, which were the five-year-olders who were supposed to be going to, we call it going out to the big school after they finished with the kindergarten, fifth grade. And I followed them until they got to the second grade, too, after they graduated. But I had the first graduation class there. My two grandsons, Ramadan and Kwayan, were my students, part of my class. And I taught them. And they never knew anything of what we call the Black National Anthem. This was in New Jersey now. It's a little bit of a prominent school ran by an Indian man and another lady. Matter of fact, she's my oldest daughter age. They were used to know each other and hang out together in all their times, you know. And Alnisa is now, I'm 78, Alnisa is 58. So she was younger at that time. And my grandson, two of them were going there, Ramadan. He passed from surgery, cancer of the brain, and Kwayan, he has his degree in accounting, so his bachelor's degree in accounting, and he was, let me see, I forget that. I'm not getting old, y'all. I was trying to think of their ages, you know, Kwayan's age, but he died in June the 9th. His birthday was June the 3rd. Almost was born on my birthday, May 28th. That's why they gave me the privilege, his mother did, to name him. And I named him Ramadan Mubarak because he was born in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so think about him often. But I'm trying to think of the age there. They're about 36 years old now. It would be about 36 years old. Kwayan would be about 36, and so would Ramadan be, because Kwayan's birthday is in February, and then that's the same year, June, that Ramadan's birthday is in. So they were same age, but they graduated this institution, and they knew the Black National or Negro National Anthem, and they knew how to count from 1 to 100, and they knew how to spell up to 4-letter words, some 5-letter words, because we used to have fun learning, you know. They knew, of course, they knew colors, knew ABCs, they knew spelling, they knew their address, their birthdays, and their telephone numbers at home, and let me see. What else? They knew how to contact the one that was first in line to, if in case of any emergency, or how to give them contact information of where to find somebody or to get a hold of somebody who were a part of the family, you know, their parent, you know, the mother or me, you know. So they were pretty, and I'm not boasting, but they were pretty well gifted at that time, and Allah blessed them to be able to learn. Kwayan went on to college, and he was a student all the while. Ramadan, he stopped at Clara Muhammad School. He went to high school, part of it, but then he dropped out, and he chose to be there on the outside world. But he could draw. He did drawing. He really did drawing. He could sing, and he could have, you know, he could have done a lot of other things, you know. Sometimes, I mean, he could have been a photographer. He took pictures, and he got two girls left behind, and they're smart as a whip, both of them, both of them. They talk often how they miss their father, but, and try to talk to him, you know. Every now and then they'll call me, and they'll want to sob a little bit and want to know some things. Their mother put them on phone me to ask me questions and all that. And I did name the first one, and I named her, oh, my goodness. Rukhaya. Yeah, Rukhaya. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, daughter is one of his daughters, Rukhaya. Uh-huh. And the other one's name is Runaya. I don't know where her mother got that one from, but Ramadan didn't ask me to name the second one. Just the person, he said, I don't know what to name, but I'm going to name her a Muslim name. I don't want her to have any other name. That was his firstborn. So, you know, we decided to have Rukhaya. And I don't know if she had a middle name or not, from her mom, I think, her mom's grandmother. They're smart. Smart. Their ability to learn is very high. They like learning. They seem to like learning. And I'm not bragging again, like I said, but my grandchildren are pretty good at that. They like learning. That's one of the things I emphasize, is education is number one priority after Allah. You know, your education. You know, I taught them etiquette, but I raised six of them. You know, the six of the oldest ones. It was Aisha. It was Ramadan. It was Layla, Kwayan, and Sophia. Yeah, and we have one now. It's Ishmael, but he was born Johnny Come Lately. Oh, and Jenna. I can't forget about Jenna. Yeah, Jenna Angel Jabez. Yeah, and those three I practically raised. Their mothers weren't too balanced at the time. They thought they had been brought up under such strict supervision until they decided they want to know what was going on in the world. You know, at certain time, the children were, I don't think, the youngest might have been 3 years old, and that was Jenna. She's the baby of the bunch, of the whole bunch. The others were bigger children, could voice if anything was wrong with them, or if anybody was doing anything to them that was wrong, you know, they could help protect themselves. But Jenna, she was a little one, and we call her now little Jenna. But she's a supervisor, whatever you call a lead supervisor, at FedEx. She works for FedEx, and she's got a good job. She worked her way up to management and whatever the next level is, but she's in a high position at now, alhamdulillah. And she has one daughter. Her name is Alicia, one daughter, and she likes basketball, and she's thin, so that's okay. But then I told her, Jenna was saying she's kind of lacking a little bit in her academic studies because she loves basketball. They go different things, different places to tournaments, and they go out of town and all that. So I told Jenna she's going to have to let her know that set of priorities, that basketball does not come before her academic studies. And if she can't keep those up, then she doesn't need to be playing basketball. Needs that time to help her to study what she needs to study. So in Jenna, she's doing fine. She graduated with her bachelor's degree in psychology in Memphis, Tennessee. So she's going back for her master's. And she wants to do that. Plus her job would pay for it. FedEx would pay. So alhamdulillah, she's doing good. They're doing good. I did everything I could to keep them together. taken one from being this other, these other people they don't know anything about, you know, stuff like that. Allah blessed us. He blessed us, and we made it. We made it. Ramadan is the only one that's not with us. But then we got a younger one that can never take Ramadan's place, but we got another one that feels blank of being the fifth one instead of Ishmael being the sixth one. He's still back to the fifth one because Ramadan's not with us anymore physically. So anyway, enough about my grands, but I was just thinking about how people don't are not really concentrating on how they should raise children. And it's nothing wrong. You know, now we were talking about the other day, they have it so the parents can be able to take classes to become teachers in their homes. You know, before they were trying to demand that the parents couldn't teach their children at home because they didn't have any kind of degree, and some didn't even have high school diplomas. You know, but now they have a teacher's position that they have online that they could learn and be trained for in order to be a teacher of their children at home. And that's why, that's what Quran and I were talking about the other night when Quran was saying, Brother Muhammad, yes, Brother Muhammad Sharif was speaking on, we have to do something, asking the question, Brother, what are we going to do, you know, about our children being in these public schools that we need our own. So it seems like it bounced around in the atmosphere and Allah shot it right on down, right on down to the people to be and who could handle that and take care of that. So now they have, alhamdulillah, and we can all be teachers at home or online teaching others as well as our own. And that's alhamdulillah. That's alhamdulillah. You know, I have to check it out further. My granddaughter told me about it about a week ago, and I've been doing a little stuff here to the point I didn't get to that as yet as far as looking into it a lot like I want to, you know, but I'm doing some stuff. I'm trying to take care of my health now so I can be around, inshallah, with my sound mind to be able to help initiate this. And we can't forget about that STEM school either, Sister Quran. Wherever you are, we cannot forget about that STEM school. We know what it's all about. And if we can just have some beginners, you can have, well, you have your hands in a lot of pots like I do. A lot of things we can't do, but so much at a time, you know. But have part-time, be a part-time teacher, you know. Some kind of way if you can. If it's one day a week. Every little bit helps, and the more the merrier. So we'll get it done, inshallah. We pray Allah to bless us with the health and the strength and the sound mind, you know, and the time to be able to leave something, children and our elderly. You know, children and our elderly. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. So, and, you know, Al-Islam, teaching Al-Islam to them also comes in that, within that curriculum, you know, comes within that curriculum. We just have to start off at the baby stages, you know, elementary number one and elementary number two, what is it, junior or senior elementary, the green books that we have, you know, and I still have mine, alhamdulillah. I don't know if there's any, no other intermediate and beginners, that's what it was, beginners and the intermediate books, the green books. We taught the children in Sister Claire Muhammad School. Yeah. And I still have mine, alhamdulillah. And I just want to try and stay up to date. Oh, I tell you, it may not be considered easy, but it's worth it. It's like Imam W.D. Muhammad used to say, may Allah bless him into the paradise. Have mercy on him. And save him, forgive him of his shortcomings. Came from the hillside. Listen to be next to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know. And Jesus, as they say too, you'll see them walking together. So that means in the mind. That means not walking together literally, but that means the mind. So we, and that's another subject we can expound on, that a lot of us think that when we're saying different things that it's just a literally thing. Some are, and but a lot of them are not. It's the mind. It's just like the soul. People wonder about the soul. The soul is your mind, how you utilize your mind, how you save your soul, save your mind, you know, from all things that are corrupted and all this sort of thing, you know. So that's my understanding of it. So we're going to teach these children. We're going to get these whatever certificates. Yeah, that's right. And they give a certificate, too, after they teach you in school. I mean, teach you online how to teach your children or the child, the children at home. Then you get a certificate proving your studies and what you get what you earn. Like to say, you get what you strive for. But I go back now. Alhamdulillah, I skipped a little bit, but I was getting ready to say, just like Imam W.D. Muhammad used to say to us, we have challenges that we're confronted with all the time, as long as we live, but you take those challenges and use them as opportunities. Take your challenges and use them as opportunities. Use them as an opportune time to benefit the way you can, that's profitable to you as well as others, something that's positive, not negative, something that's positive. Alhamdulillah. And don't forget, anybody that's on the line, online now, want to give their opinion or speak on something or contribute to what's been said already, then just press 1 on your phone receiver and your mic will be opened and you will be brought into the queue to speak on whatever it is that you want to speak on. Permissible. Back up over that. You know, something pertaining to psychological effect that the image has on the mind of the world's children. And going back to the Blog Talk Radio show on tonight, this is Tuesday night, and it is September the 20th, 2022. And 8:04 at this time. And this is the sisters' night to focus on the image in the way of the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. And we know that the brothers on the other nights from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m., like this show's night, all of them are from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. But the brothers have first hour is on the message of concern, serious message of concern. And the second hour, most of the time, is on businesses. And then maybe during the whole 2 hours, a lot of it still is mixed together in some type of way, shape, form, or fashion at times where you can talk about both of them during the same, you know, at the same time, the whole 2 hours, both of them at the time. So, and on Tuesday nights and Sunday nights, when the sisters focus on the psychological effect that that image has on the mind of the world's children, we also speak on that. But the second half, we might reiterate on something pertaining to business, or pertaining to the message of concern. All of this is intertwined together here with the message of concern, because the message of concern is the serious message of concern, which pertains and talks about and focus on removal of all images from worship that portray divine, removal of all images, whether they be statues made of clay, whether they be little pendulums or whatever, a cross or whatever, if it's resembling or supposed to be portraying divine, and you're using in your worship, that's what we're trying to get rid of, because we know that Allah cannot be confined in a statue or a cross or any sort of emblem, you know, that's taboo. You can't confine Allah. Allah is the creator. How can you think about even confining him? You know, and that brings us to mind, too. We are learning more and more that Jesus never said he was God. People put that handle on him because he might have been creating what they might think was bringing about miracles, but we know we're not in the business of being miracle workers. We're in the business of being blessed, to share our blessings and to spread our blessings, and only the Creator can heal and can bring about the sure blessings that we need to help us to heal. And if we learn from what we are taught, we can share what we have, and we can help each other that way. And some people may consider it being a miracle, because once we finish making salat, you know, five salats and more, and once we show our character, which is a superb character, and that befits us and what we like we're supposed to have, you know, as Muslims, true believing Muslims or believers, whether you have the title of worship, whether you Islamic worshiper or Christian worshiper or whatever other worshiper you choose for your life, as long as it's, you know and just believe and know that there's only one Creator. You know, one Creator. Three, not the Trinitarian doctrine, not three, only one. You know, and he has many, many attributes. Many attributes, they say 99 and some. You know, and it is, we have much knowledge to share. And it's noted that if you take all of the oceans and the seas and whatever, and how you get it now? I mean, I don't think I'm able to say it verbatim, but I can say if all of the limbs on the trees were pins, and all of the oceans and the waters were, you would never run out of the knowledge of El Islam. And somebody can correct me if I missed something or if I said something wrong in reference to that, but that's the understanding I have for it, even if although I may not be able to recite it or say it verbatim, exactly the way it is, exactly the way it was written, you know. Pray Allah I can be able to explain it in the way that you'll understand what I'm saying. You know, so, alhamdulillah. It's just like also saying that if all of the pencils or all of the pencils were lead, okay, or ink, all the pencils were lead, and all of the paper was like the oceans, okay? You would never be able to use all of those pencils to write out enough, use enough paper to run out of the teachings and the knowledge and the wisdom of El Islam. I hope I made this simplified. I don't know. It's the first time I tried to get that. I was trying to come up with something different, try to put it in a different way, you know. Amen. I'm Dirty Muhammad said, we don't have to always quote him verbatim or what he says. I don't always have to call his name. It's just every now and then. But just remember what he taught you, you know, and you remember and put it in your words some ways, sometimes, how to explain and make it easier for the next person to be able to understand what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to me. And the serious message of concern, I gave you what that was, told you about that. And the brothers found that on the days except the Sunday, the Tuesday, and Fridays. There are no Fridays. All other days from 7 p. to 9 p. is message of concern and the removal of all images and racial images and all images that portray to God, that portray divine from our worship and psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. So now, that's got that. Find that wish. Just keep on thinking of where you got it from before. And that's what I have to do in order, before this up, before the program is up today, tonight, then I pray that I can be able to reflect back on and see this here picture that I'm talking about, just explaining that that was it, but that's not it. Anyway, it's definitely displaying a lot of, it's really displaying a lot of prejudice. About the little boy, 5 years old. Okay. Now I have my Muslim journal here. My reading partners, I see one. Yeah, that's it, but I don't, well, you know my reading partner I'm talking about. I'm talking about Sister Sharifa and Brother Muhammad Sharif. Brother and Sister Sharif, my reading partners, I say. But I read quite a bit last time I was on, and that was on this past Tuesday. And they had Brother Kasim Ahmed, who he looks so well, during his younger days, looks really well. And there's Sister Marin there too, Nadia Ahmed, Marin Nadia Ahmed. And Sister Anissa Dewan, she was one of Imam Kasim Ahmed's students, favorite students, the sister. And of course his wife, the other one there, the second one is there with the children. But I said I was going to read another one, something out of here tonight when I came back on, because it was interesting. But if somebody can remind me, I'm not for sure if it was too long, because I read just some of it. Okay, Hidden in Plain Sight. Yeah, that was what I read, and I did read it all. I did. And it was the title of it. It was September the 3rd through the 9th issue, the issue of Muslim Journal, September 3rd through September the 9th, 2022, on page 11, from 11 to page 23, it reads about the hidden in plain sight, hidden in plain sight. And it's about, that's the topic, and it's about abandonment and devastating effects on women, children, and community. Part 5, beware of 9 red flags during courtship. Yeah, well, we all know they're doing it, even though it's not allowed, they say, in El-Islam. But they've been doing it, courting, since time immemorial, and let's bring them in Allah. I mean, we can only teach them what's pleasing to Allah and from coming from the Holy Quran.
I didn't know this. But anyway, this is something else that from this new paper that enrolling Islamic Learning Institute, you know, they're enrolled today for the fall semester. Of course, it started September the 11th. Okay, well, we know that this is the 20th event. Yep, this is the 20th, so it's 2 weeks gone. Exactly 9 days. We got mostly sisters, too. Mostly sisters in the class. Sisters, we have, that's right, get this knowledge. Oh, that's weird. Get this knowledge and, oh, that's Brother Hanif Abdullah. Okay. And Imam Hatim. Yeah, I saw him before on the convention, I think. Oh, it's Sister Hijra Abdul Salam. Okay, she's, what do you call it, to check the eyes out and can, I'm going to say endocrinology, but she's the one that can do your eye check and find out what ailments you have in your system and what your system is lacking just by eye exams. She's in Virginia now. She was here. She's in Virginia now. I don't have the Health and Wellness Committee anymore. I'm not the convener of the Health and Wellness Committee anymore of El Mu'minun. I was, but then when Brother Hanif came, I was glad to get a break. We elected him. I put it on the floor and elected him to be the convener of the Health and Wellness Committee, but now he has returned. He's no longer with us. So I guess I'm having to figure out how we're going to do now, what we're going to do with Health and Wellness Committee over there. I mean, not the Health and Wellness Committee, but the office that we decorated and everything for the Health and Wellness Committee office. Inshallah. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Don't forget, if anybody from what we said and gone over, if anybody have any comments, anything to add to it, take away from it, and you know, from what we said, or to any new current event or anything that you feel that you can share with us pertaining to children or the elderly, or education, please let us know. I'm going to reiterate what I said before. Allah heard our prayers and du'as, and Brother Brother Muhammad Sharif had mentioned before his interest and concerns about what we were going to do about the children, the school is starting back and all that, you know, where are we going to put them? How are we going to teach them? We need a place of our own to try and teach them. We need to teach them ourselves, you know, instead of putting them out there, it's like throwing them to the wolves, to the outside world or whatever. What are we going to do about it? Well, alhamdulillah, I'm going to say this again because I like even sharing it. They've got a program now. Parents to get certificates to teach, and they go through the training. They get certificates to teach their children as well as anybody can get the training. Not anybody, but those interested can get the training. And they can also take teach it online to the children. They can get a classroom online, you know, and teach the children and they can in their homes, not in the public schools, and get paid the same. Oh, I didn't mention that before. I forgot. See, because I don't think about the money part. I just got okay, and get paid. Yes, they can get paid for that. So that would behoove a lot of us to try. And I'm going to get that information to you real soon. What'd you say? Excuse me. Okay. I thought you guys were going to say? Not yet. Okay. Appreciate it. When you
do come in and say a few words, I'll call Sophia and get that information again so I can give it to them, the ones online who are interested on how to go about getting the certificate and getting paid too for teaching, learning this, the education that they need to teach the children at home, online, and get paid like the teachers teach the children in the classroom. Okay? So Sophia was giving me the information, and I told her I would get back with her and check it out. I can't hold them on the Blog Talk Radio Show while I call and get the exact information, and then I can text it out to everybody. Okay, there's nothing else. It's a shame. They're talking about the various lectures of abortion. You know that it was passed, that law was passed where you cannot have, no abortions can be had. I don't know exactly how that goes. I didn't even read up on it, discuss through. I don't say discuss me, but I just I felt kind of insecure about that, because they say these things, a lot of them, but they don't carry them out. And our young girls, young females, will be the first ones who will be going to these abortion clinics and all that sort of thing. And end up killing a lot of them behind that, you know. So I don't judge. I just can't believe they did. He did it, but then he did pass it. It was passed, overthrown in the courts. Yeah, that it was overthrown, something like that. Anyway, they're not allowed to have abortions anymore. Not even pertaining to their own personal situation. Female get raped or whatever, and not get against her will, which is considered a rape, then she can't go and have an abortion. You know, she cannot go and have an abortion for that. So I can understand that. What they're doing with all that, but I don't want to even be in that. But I'm going to read about it when I finish reading about the children, what the sister wrote about the children. Yeah, we had... Hold on 1 second. For me, please. I have to let him know. Okay, I'm back. It's a page here in the Muslim Journal also, this latest edition. Page 11. In this edition, September 3rd through the 9th. And it says, mamas and daddies or grannies, old junk. And I spotted something on it last week, and she asked me to please turn to a page. And I turned to that page, but they made a mistake. They didn't carry anything over to continue it on the page they referred us to. So I just... that I would look through the paper and see if it was on another page instead of this page. More and more people are now really being interested in the Muslim family life, because they got it right up in the paper about Muslim family life. You got an article here. Strengthen your spiritual growth. Okay,
But anyway, I'm going to go in and read what I have about what I wanted to tell you about this mamas and daddies or granny's old junk. And it says, it reads, periodically, it's by Sister Amadala Morani, the contributing writer for years. Okay. And it says, periodically, a member of the community will remind us of the need to get our affairs in order in terms of information and documents needed for those left behind. Many heed the call, but the task may never be completed. It may be completed, but may become outdated with the change of circumstances over time. Children and adults may have been too busy to have a discussion about why certain items were collected or saved. Something else may have always taken priority. Each other we won't be. Okay. It may be completed, but may become outdated with the change of circumstances over time. Children and adults may have been too busy to have a discussion about why certain items were collected or saved. Something else may have always taken priority. Each time someone dies or has to give up a long time resident, there is at least one other person determining what is valuable enough to keep. Yeah, that's right. My husband calls me a hoarder because I'm always saving stuff. Okay. And it says, with each death, there may be thousands of dollars of antique and vintage household and personal items and furniture, along with single copy photos and other historical artifacts, all disdained for the garbage landfill. Some children and other relatives can't wait and are even excited to trash the decades accumulated junk of the elderly. Maybe the children were never interested in their parents' lives. Some may have been jealous of the parents' involvement with others and will use the toss-out to express those feelings. For written material of value, sharing copies with others involved or to help pass on accurate history is important. It is so convenient and space-saving to get rid of originals after taking a photo of the items. This is better than nothing, but there is no substitute for the actual articles. We do have a responsibility to organize historical material so that it does not look like junk. Okay, now we're supposed to go to page 23, but 23 does not carry anything on about mama and daddy's or granny's old junk. Not on page 23. And I also didn't see it in any other page, on any other page, a continuation of that. But anyway, that's the importance of it, and that's what she wanted to express. Okay. So that's important. That is important. You never know what you find, what you might find in mama or daddy's or granny's belongings. Either when they say clean up and we got to get rid of some of this stuff, and you know she leaves it to you to clean up, to get rid of. She doesn't really know what you're throwing away or whatever, and you're saving just about as much as she told you to throw away, because there seemed to be something like a instrumental or something that you want to save. In memories or some of somebody or whatever. Oh, so it's over Kayan. That's what it's. Okay. trying to see if I can find it, but it seems like I can't. Okay, I'm waiting for a show of hands. I'm waiting for a show of hands. I see people on, but I don't know. They'll let me know when they're ready to contribute to the conversations or share with us, bring forth something by pushing one on their phone receiver. And being brought into the queue. There's something else on 23. Page 23 can't hold but so much, but they got about three or four things for page 23, and one of them I don't see. One of the continuations on 23 I don't see. I was really, really trying to find it, too. I'm not going to disturb anybody. If you just want to listen, I'm going to just go on and let that be that way, because I'm not, I know it's supposed to be what they used to call my turf right now. So I have to handle it all. I'll just handle it all and keep on talking and keep on reading and keep on sharing. That's what I'll just do, because I won't call you. Even though I do recognize some numbers, but I won't call you until you put push one on your receiver and the hand will go up and let me know that you're ready to speak or say something, you know. Otherwise, I don't want to disrespect you and get you out of your listening mode, whatever the reason might be. Okay. I really do want to read this article I read last week, I mean on Tuesday. I really do, because there weren't too many people on, but I see those on tonight that really probably would be interesting to them to hear it. But, okay. Muslim family life. You know, I've mentioned to you already about something new that has took place, or that has taken place, or that did take place, or that took place with the children and the teaching of the children. So that is good news to me. That's good news. And as we know, this coming up month, especially after this month, fall of the year is coming in, inshallah, and children will be at home mostly, too. They're talking about the new COVID. So if they're talking about the new COVID, then that means it's going to be more children at home, and I guess they're preparing for that. That's why they're letting their parents take the teaching classes or whatever would make them make it adequate, or make them knowledgeable enough to get a certificate to teach their children at home, and to be able to teach some children online if their parents or those in the household that may not be able to take that course, take whatever it is the teaching is for the children to be taught at home. So that should bring something to mind. If they're emphasizing it now, children being taught at home, that must mean we're going to have this breakout of the new virus. It's really going to be something that we have to look out for, what we have to look out for. Somebody else. Oh, they have a thing of insurance of money matters. Save money on insurance for self-employed. Oh, wow. That sounds interesting. That's a business part right there. I don't know if brothers have looked into this or not. It says save money on insurance for self-employed. insurance, and money matters. Yes. Sister Amira Wazir. We all know her. Well, I don't say we all know her, but I say we know of her. There's something on here. That's interesting, too. What you need to know about California's new 988 suicide and mental health. Wow. That even sounds mental health. Yeah, a lot of this going around. It's happening. It's happening. Oh, yeah, I did speak on that abstract thinking last week, too. Social aspects of mathematics. That was real interesting. For those of you who didn't get a chance to hear it, it will be read on page 9. They had a Muslim journal out the extravaganza or program in New Jersey. Here it is right here. Just turn to the page right here. And Brother Abdullah Muhammad, you remember him, Abba? And Brother Edward Aziz was there. Brother Abdullah Muhammad, we met him when we went to New Jersey the convention that year. I forget what part of New Jersey that was in then. Looking for this. Now, this is very interesting, believe it or not. Okay, we do have somebody here that wants to say something. I'm going to give them a chance to say something. Give me a little break right here. I appreciate it, Brother Sue. Appreciate it. Okay, let me let him in. Welcome. 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 Assalamu alaikum. Brother Suji,
oh,
that's the Quran. Okay, you know, I'm used to your last ending on your phone number, and I'm used to him having this particular ending on his phone. But that's you now.
Yes.
How you doing, Quran?
Yes. Oh, you know, we are one.
Huh?
I say, you know, we are one.
That's right. But you have two different numbers. You're something else, and you know I'm going to come right back. You know I'm going to come right back.
I know that. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, I just want to ask two questions. One question I want to ask you is saying that was a new COVID virus out. What that's about all about?
Well, I'm not too up on it right now because I'm too busy trying to find out where the other one ended and what was done about it. If they say it's a new one, I'm going to take the end of this month. It's going to be the end of this month before I know all about that one. But I haven't even been to study it yet.
I have another question. I want to ask if you could answer it is
okay.
What do they mean?
I'll try.
What do they mean when they say when they said that you know, they named the city, then they said New Africa. What do they mean by that?
What they mean is they're talking about the diagram. Let me see if I see it in the Muslim Journal. And you know the diagram they usually have in the Muslim Journal on the back page where it's so colorful, where we have our own little city. We have the fire department, we have the school, we have a post office, we have homes, we have hospitals, our community. We're going to want to call it New Africa.
want to call our community New Askers, where we have everything in there that we need as far as a little city of our own.
Oh, okay, okay. So you got the so when you say that, that means that you already have an established or that you're getting ready to establish it. Or what? I'm just speaking for understanding because someone asked me, and I couldn't give them an answer. That's why.
Okay. Do you have the Muslim journal? Do you have a Muslim
journal? No, I don't. No. Basically, okay. I was just trying to see what was the understanding of no, because I just it's not all the way up in Mississippi, because I heard the sister was saying, you know, Baton Rouge. I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, New Africa, and I say, New Africa? I didn't know that we had a New Africa, and so I was just trying to figure out what was the understanding of New Africa, because I know all that what you were saying is not here, so that's why I was trying to figure out what do that mean.
Okay. Let me see if I can explain it to you so you'd be able to understand. Okay. It on Muslim in a Muslim journal page 18. It has a picture, and it said, and this is in here every issue, and it says New Africa. Can you see it? It's your mind. It's your mind again. You're imagining a city, our own city, called New Africa. Since we have what those are most of the African Americans. And it's got people reaching across the globe, like across the world to each other. Got one brother on one side of the world, other brother on the other side of the world, maybe Africa, you know. And we over here on this side of the world, another brother on our side here that's America. But within the two, between the two of us, the African and the American, we can know our history, put it together, know that these are independent places, independent people who want their own. We want our own. Okay? So since we're known or called African-Americans, it's New Africa. This is a New Africa, not an old Africa, but a New Africa that we are trying, we are imagining in our minds. Well, we'll have our own. We'll have our schools. We'll have our hospitals. We'll have our, this is so tiny, I can't hardly see. Imam W. Muhammad is in the middle of it. We have our own airplanes. We have our, I can't hardly see this. Our youth.
Okay,
we have our youth. And our gap, huh?
No, I was just saying, I understand that, but I was trying to say.
That's what it is.
So it's not, when you say that, it's not nothing that is real. It's just something like your imagination.
No, it's not visible right now. This is what we picture Africa to look like and to be and what we're going to have in our new Africa, in our new world, or our own city, you know, New Africa. That's why they call it new. We'll be imagining, and these are things we want. These are things we desire to have and intend to get, and you know, live the community. It's like a community, and you call it New Africa.
Oh, okay. So, So did Imam Ward D. Muhammad initiate that, or just the community? I'm just asking the question, Shuja. He's throwing up his arm.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I ain't think
that's why he's right.
He's
right in the middle. Come on. Don't. Certain things just don't let.
Okay.
Certain things just don't.
Go ahead. So the Imam did like initiate it. I'm just seeking for understanding because
he
asked me.
Yes, he had. Yes, and that's why his pitch is right up. He, you know, like he say, show. We want to give him a new future. I think that's what he said.
Well,
he said new future. What did he say?
what did he say? Give him a new future. My mind sometimes can bring up the, I want to bring it up. What should y'all say? What did he say? Give him a new what? Anyway, Imam Rasul reads it on the lifeline.
Yes, sir. Okay, I was just asking if someone asked, and I could give them an answer. That's why I asked.
Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah, no, it's not already in existence. No, this is what we picture our own communities. We build our own community. Like, say, if and whenever we get things together for BUII, that could be like a new Africa. You know what I mean? Because most of us would be, huh?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, that's the way, yeah, that's what it is. That's what it's like. It's not something that's already in existence, but they're just, you know, like to say, talk it up. They're talking it up in their head. This is what they want. This is what we want. Talking it up in our head. This is what we want, and we're going to start working on it. You know? They said they got a youth trucking company. Here's my glasses. I need some more glasses. This picture's very small. It says, a youth trucking company, Our Halal Farm, airplane in the sky, cars, and this looks like a masjid here, homes here. Hospital, what did Suja say? What'd you say, Suja?
He said
Allahu
Akbar.
No, I didn't say that.
You didn't say
Allahu Akbar? Oh, okay, man. All right.
Look, don't y'all see. What did he say, Kwan? What did he say?
He said, don't put no sugar in here.
Don't put no sugar in here. Oh.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, great, Quran. All right, Quran now. Okay, I'm not worried about what y'all said. I thought he was complaining. I thought he was saying something in reference to New Africa. That's why I asked. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been even trying to get into my business. I see somebody else's hand is on. Have you got an understanding now, Karan?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I thought he was talking about don't sugarcoat it, you know, all that kind of stuff. But alhamdulillah. Oh, yeah, okay. He said he wasn't talking about you. Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead.
Karan, you better leave my brother alone. You better stop.
I don't look the same thing as you.
He said, leave him alone. Okay, I see somebody's hand is up right now. This is one of our brothers here, Brother Muhammad Sharif. Okay. Hold on, Karan. Just hang in there now. I need a new computer. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Sharif.
Wa alaikum assalam. Zahir.
How you doing?
Grand. Everybody.
Everybody, huh? Everybody.
Right. And Muhammad from Georgia.
She's not even on right now.
Yeah, New Africa. Can you see it?
Yes.
I'm looking at the poster now that you read from. The New Africa,
okay.
Can you see it? Muslim Journal.
Uh-huh.
March 31st, 2006. Congratulations to Imam Dabadi Mohammed for 30 years of visionary leadership, bringing his community to the rise of a New Africa. That's why you see our... You know, we had an airplane during the days of Elijah Muhammad. You know, our halal farms, and then we had our farms.
Yep.
Our trucking company, Then we had trucking companies to bring their goods and things, the newspaper all across the country.
YHG.
That's right. Here, another building here. I'm looking at the poster here. Plum Nutrition, CPC, Grace Line, ComTrust, Muslim Journal. That's right. Also has the clothing factory, Eggmate. Remember Eggmate?
Did.
Yeah, the mouse
care. So they got so jealous with that Eggmate. That's a shame.
Here we got homes, schools.
That's fun, yeah.
Got the W.D. Muhammad and Clara Muhammad schools.
Yeah.
Also, and right here on the street, they got two cars, got one car. Gray one has got the license plate, H-A-Q-Q, Hawk.
You got some good eyes. Some good glasses, yeah. One.
Yeah. I blew the flyer up on the paper, and I put it on cellophane. Not cellophane, but anyway.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
There's another car, Bear Park, just has Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I on the license plate.
Okay.
I remember now, Imam Muhammad, he started at Africa, that effort. Man had come to Newark, New Jersey. I was there, I was living in Jersey. And the man made a talk and said, he was saying, New Africa, it's going to outshine Timbuktu. It's going to outshine Mali, Shanghai. It's going to be the brightest light coming out of the back cove that you ever seen in the history of man.
Yes.
Is there a place I discovered where people, now this is a brother made a song out of New Africa. I have the song recording because I spoke to him 2 days ago. So anyway, the man was still speaking. He said, let's change it from Newark to New Africa. All we need is enough political numbers and enough financial strength and enough human excellence, and this Newark could be renamed New Africa. That's right. And then after Nam had made that lecture, a brother came out and he made a song called New Africa.
And that was brother, what's his name? Muhammad, right? His last name was Muhammad too, wasn't it?
Ishra Muhammad.
Yeah, I remember he wore a white suit. I never forget that white suit and that white beard.
Oh, yeah? Ishra Muhammad. That's right. Yes, yeah, so that's right. Saw that idea. That's right. New Africa. Going to name Newark. As a matter of fact, it has just about come into existence now. Do you know that the Muslim Journal has moved its office to Newark, New Jersey?
It has? I wonder why Brother Kareem and I, we were in the old days together before he even became any man. Brother Kareem, I remember his other name too, but I remember when he made that statement. I didn't know it was going up there though. I didn't know that's where the Muslim girl was going.
Oh yeah, they had some.
They had that affair up there this time.
Yeah, before the affair came about, it was a couple of articles in the Muslim Journal, and Sister Aisha came, he was speaking, that they are going to be moving the Muhammad's Peace Office to Newark, New Jersey. And all that has taken, they got a new board of directors, Imam Kareem, you just spoke about.
He's the president of the new board.
They got about 20 people on the board.
Sure do. And
that's right.
Sister Anissa Duan is on there too.
She's on the board also.
That's
right. So you saw the culture that the corporate event last week in Newark, right?
Yes.
Your squad name? Edward Aziz.
Yep. You saw it?
Yeah. Yeah, all that was on for CZ Day. Yeah, they had the Juma Friday, and then they had the cultural event that Saturday night. And yesterday, Sunday, they had Tylene there in Newark at the Masjid.
Kareem's Masjid.
Right.
Where he resides at, because the other one over there on South Orange Avenue, where I accepted the Elder Islam under James Shabazz, Minister James Shabazz, Brother Akbar was there, but I don't know who that one now. Because I heard Brother Akbar Muhammad is not in that one, I heard. Look,
okay,
jumping
so
now.
I'll get off with somebody because I'm getting running out of time, so I'll get off now. After I let you know about this new Africa, that's why it's taking its place. New Africa going to be a Newark, just like the man made that lecture years ago.
Muslim
Germans
sure did.
That's right. And Newark,
Newark has always been alive. With this crime and all that stuff, we still got along. And those the winos or whatever, they be bar right across the street from the Masjid when it first started, it's just a Slam Muhammad school. Those brothers sent out in the middle of the street, the people to drink the wine and stuff, and stop the car and let the children come across the street to go to eat their lunch at the little Shabazz restaurant over there. It's always been. And you know, brother, Mayor Gibson. And used to come up to the Masjid for Juma, mayor of Newark.
Right.
He used to come to Masjid Juma all the time. He sure did. I went to school with his daughters up there, Weekwake High School. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Mayor Gibson, right?
Mayor Gibson, that's right.
Uh-huh.
And then Sharp James, he used to come too. Sharp James used to come up there, Mayor Sharp James, when he became mayor.
Yeah, remember him, Sharp James. That's right.
Yeah.
Newark is no joke.
That's right. And brother and brother Edward he told the truth. He didn't leave no stones unturned with that when they said the call was called, all hands were on deck.
Mm-hmm.
Women and all. The sisters and all, we were there. I loved it. Sure did. That's why I accepted El Islam. Yep.
Mm.
Mosh number 25.
Right.
Minister
right.
James Shabazz.
That's right.
Yeah. It was really something at the time. And I know it's come up again. I know it's going to spring again. A lot of things happened. A lot of things were taken. But like you also said, they're going to give them back. We're going to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
Get them all back.
Okay.
That's
you
why
for taking my
that. In Newark. Mm-hmm. Was there when they first started the University of Islam, and then when they changed it, they got a Sister Zeta there in University of Islam, and called Amir Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, called her to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And started to get the credentials and everything for Clara Muhammad, First Clara Muhammad School, Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. I taught there, both of them, University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School.
Uh-huh. You're a teacher.
Yes, sir. I have my degree. Got it right there in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Nurse's license and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I was on the sick committee too. Oh, I think about it and I get so full. I was on a sick committee, we called it sick committee there. And I went to, they assigned that to me to go to Martland Hospital, city hospital, and help change the menus to get, to get the pork out of the meal. And it passed. I'm glad to say, I don't say I'm proud, but I'm glad to say that I was a part of that. I was instrumental in that. I did the legwork. They assigned it to me, and I took care of business. Alhamdulillah. Yep, well, soon will be time for us to go off. Oh, but did you hear about what's going on with the teachers? They're going to, the teachers are going to, mothers are going to be able to teach their children at home.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Did you hear me when I was talking about, I was going to call my granddaughter because she said she would let me know more about it when I had time. She was telling me about it the other day. She's taken a class, and they're going to give her a certificate when she finishes, and all the others who take the class at the same time, so that she can teach and have the credentials, teach the children at home, teach the daughter at home and her son, and online.
Right.
And get paid.
That's right.
And
get paid.
just like the teachers get paid. One leg my salam, Quran.
Yeah, I just want to ask you one question. Where is that information located? Because I want to tell my daughter about it.
That's what I said. I'm going to get my granddaughter. I was going to call her while I was lying here and let Akbar do some talking. Whoever want to do some talking, then I can switch over and call her and ask her to give me that information, and I can relate it to you.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Okay, I didn't hear that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Akbar. Well, I can. I don't know. He may be outside the Quran, but I may have to try and text it back to you or something, because it's give it to you in the morning. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. Yeah, I can get it to you in the morning. But if I can text it to you tonight, and because it's 9:06 now. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I want to get on it myself. I don't need me sitting down here becoming stagnant. Not using a teacher's degree, early childhood elementary degree, not using it for nothing, and like I've just become stagnant down here, okay? in what they call Hotlanta. They call it Hotlanta. I come down here from New Jersey. I met Akbar in Nashville, Tennessee. That's why I moved back to Nashville, Tennessee. About three times I moved from Newark, New Jersey, to Nashville, Tennessee. And then last time we met in Chicago with Ramadan session. Oh, boy. Yeah, but it's okay, alhamdulillah. It's good. I have to say I do miss New Jersey. And Brother Aziz had to tell me, I'm in your hometown. They had fun. He said he had the sister fell down up under the stage or something like that, some part of the stage collapsed or fell or something. He didn't know he had rings under his feet. So he sprung over there so fast and went down and got the sister up out of there, and she was okay. He said, I didn't know I still had it in me. He laughed a long time the other morning before Lifeline. Yeah, alhamdulillah. It was a success. It was a great success. They really had fun there and enjoyed each other in Newark, New Jersey at the time to be grateful. Well, not trying to be grateful, but it was Sister Suwad and Sister Aisha and all of them. But that's good to know, though, about that. I really wish I had to change the money and my legs doing right. I could be walking to that airport and all that kind of stuff. I would have gone, inshallah. But I couldn't make. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. So I couldn't make that one. But inshallah, they did good. And I pray that they raise money. Good for Sister Aisha. They're real go-getters there, too. Real go-getters. Hard workers. Hard workers in New Jersey. Newark.
and Jersey City there. Remember.
Okay, let me get off the line. You'll close out. Brother Muhammad, could you close out? Who else is this? Abba. I don't know where he went. Well, I want to see Brother Muhammad. Brother Muhammad, could you close out for us, please?
All right. Yeah, I'll close out with a dua.
Thank
oh, Allah,
you.
Give us good in this life and good in the destiny and protect our hearts from deviating after guidance has come. Amen.
Amen. I mean. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for sharing. And we love you all. And let's stay together and work together and pray Allah for patience, prayer, perseverance. And I pray that you be blessed with the peace that only Allah can give in your homes and in your environment. We need it. As-salamu alaykum. Stay safe.
Walaikum as-salam.